James Davis Walker was a 53-year-old living in Thraxton, Virginia. He loved woodworking and fishing and had 7 children. On April 7, 2000, James allegedly went with some friends to the Food Line in Bedford, Virginia. He waited outside while his friends went inside. When they came back out, James was gone. He was never seen again. I'm Ed Densel, and this is Unfound. I told you there was a case where a videotape proves that witnesses are lying. That suspects left the scene, then different suspects returned to the scene. That friends of the missing person changed their stories multiple times. What if I also told you that to this day, not one person has ever been charged with anything in the case? No one has even been charged with filing a false police report. What is that case? The one we're covering today on this episode of Unfound. This case is going to alter your opinion on what it means to actually be a friend. We hang out with our friends. We like our friends. We trust our friends. We rely on our friends. But sometimes their loyalties lie elsewhere. This case may also alter your opinion on video evidence, that it's not everything it's cracked up to be, and it's not the end-all be-all of solving a case. And also, this case may challenge what you think about police objectivity, that how can it not be so clear that certain detectives shouldn't be working on certain cases? I should also note that this is the first case we are covering on Unfound where we will be talking to the child of someone who's disappeared. In the past, we've interviewed mothers and siblings, but I thought it was important to get a different point of view regarding missing persons cases by having on the child of someone who disappeared, and it's very enlightening. And now an official on-the-record summary of the case. I want you to realize that everything I'm about to read is going to be disputed in the rest of this episode. James Walker was last seen between approximately 9:15 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. on April 7th, 2000 in Bedford, Virginia. He was sitting inside his friend Donald Adams' vehicle and smoking a cigarette in the parking lot of the Food Lion in the Peaks View Shopping Center at the time. Adams and the other two individuals who were with Walker went into the store, and when they returned, Walker had vanished. He has never been heard from again. An extensive search of the area produced no clues as to his whereabouts. Once again, for the record, within this episode, you're going to find out that everything I just read is in dispute. The interview for this episode is with Bobby Walker, the son of James Walker. And now the housekeeping items. You can find this show on Twitter. The Twitter name is Unfound Podcast. You can email the show unfoundpodcast@gmail.com. Please listen, share, subscribe at Podomatic and iTunes. Please find us on Facebook, the Unfound Discussion Group. I'd say it's more like a club than anything else. It's a private group where you can talk to me and other listeners in real time. And I also reveal some of the behind-the-scenes stuff you aren't going to get anywhere else. I love to allow listeners to come behind the curtain to see how this program is put together. And I really enjoy the conversation back and forth between listeners and myself. And please, if you like Unfound, give it props wherever you can. There's the Podcast We Listen To group on Facebook. There's Web Sleuths, Reddit, and any other true crime forums. In other news, I've recently printed out all the missing persons cases in the Tampa area. This is going to begin a new project for me that's going to exist outside of Unfound, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I will keep you posted as it progresses. I now present to you my interview with Bobby Walker, son of James Walker.
I'm so happy to have on this episode of Unfound the son of James Davis Walker, his son, Bobby Walker. Bobby, welcome to Unfound.
Thank you, Edward. I'm glad to be here.
Tell the listeners a little bit about your dad. When you hear his name, when his face appears in your mind, just give us an idea about who he was, a couple memories that you think are very special.
Dad was great dad. I mean, I remember going to, like, races with him in New London. I mean, the dinner, at the time when it was coming in and everything like that, I was, of course, I was a little underage and everything like that, sipping the beer and whatnot. And
okay.
But going down there to the racetrack, watching with him, and Dad was just so full of life.
Yeah.
Sit back, and he was a proud dad. Mm-hmm. And I was proud of my dad. Dad would pretty much do anything for anybody. If somebody asked him to help him,
mm-hmm.
he would. He wouldn't complain about it. He'd go on. I mean, just drop the hat to get my hand. He worked hard. He worked for a sawmill company for years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly how long, but as far as I remember, he worked for Harrison Dudley.
How many kids did your dad have besides yourself?
It was actually seven of us.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
How does that break down, boys and girls?
I'm sorry?
How does that break down between boys and girls?
It was two girls, rest of us boys.
Two girls, five boys. Okay.
Yeah. And, we're just a typical family, and we struggle in life and everything like that. And having enough food on the table and stuff like that. But, we never went to bed starving or anything like that. We had times of, struggles in life. But, Dad and Mom did everything they could to help.
And your parents made time for all seven of you.
Yep.
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, I'm an only child, so I don't even know what it would be like to have like six siblings under the same roof. I mean, that's just, incredible to me.
That's a struggle. That's a struggle sometimes because you're fighting for the bed and the balls.
Yes.
The table.
Yes, and at the dinner table, I have friends of mine who, brothers and sisters that, you have to eat fast or the food might be gone, right?
Exactly.
Right.
You try to be the first one at the table, more or less.
Mm-hmm. Did your dad have any hobbies or, things that, were special to him? Interests that he have?
He loved it. He loved, I remember when Dad, growing up and everything, watching Dad, and this man could sit there and he loved chainsaws. And he could sit there and file a chainsaw, man, like you would not believe. And
wow.
He would pull a curl of a wood out of when he cut that, when he put it down the log, man. I mean, it was just like butter, man. I mean, it was just blow through it, man. I mean, Dad had talent there, man.
Yeah.
Dad loved fishing, of course, and stuff mm-hmm. like that. I remember us going fishing, going catfishing, stuff like that, and getting out in nature and whatnot. And, of course, going to the drag strip. Had a good time with that.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing those things. We are going to get something out of the way right here and now because, as you know, on the public record is in more than just one place is the idea that your dad might have had some sort of mental condition. And I just want to get this out of the way right now so we can just get into the rest of the story because I don't want – the listeners wondering about that as we go forward. Did your dad have any mental conditions that you know about, any early onset of it, of dementia or Alzheimer's or anything that you know of?
No.
No.
Not that I can recall. As far as, I can remember the last time talking to Dad was probably personally I had him up here at my house probably 2 months before he disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Dad was clear Something like that.
Okay, never forgot anybody's name, never got in the car and forgot where he was going, anything like that. I just want to put this on the record because you told me in our first conversation that was untrue. I just want to put it on the record now.
That is correct. And I think what it, you know, my honest opinion, that the story was brought up, kind of fabricated after Dad went missing.
Yeah.
To basically act like he walked off and,
right.
And disappeared. And I, you know, I wholeheartedly believe that Dad was not even there.
Okay. All right. We're going to get to that. But just for the record, of course, unfortunately, not just in the United States, all over the world, there are people, usually people who are a lot older than your dad was, who have mental conditions, Alzheimer's, dementias. They kind of walk out the door, and you can see all sorts of stories where they're never found again. We do not believe this is that kind of case.
That's correct.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Now, regarding your dad, what was going on in his life, maybe just in those few weeks, maybe that month, you know, before he disappeared? What was he doing? How was he? Was he working? Was he hanging out? Friends? What do you know about that time?
Dad would do odd jobs, stuff like that. And he'd hang out with friends up on the mountain. If it's somebody coming to ask him to do something, help do something, of course he'd go help them, and they'd pay him for services and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, Dad was able and all. Dad had strong back on him. He had strong arms and stuff like that.
Was he a big guy? Was he a big guy?
Dad was probably about 6'7".
Wow.
Dad was pretty tall.
That sounds like it.
Yeah. If you've seen Dad in the crowd, you spot him.
You spot him real quick.
Yep. And Dad was a slender man. He wasn't heavy set or anything like that.
Okay.
He got around great. I mean, he'd get on his feet, man. If he was wanting to go walk somewhere, he'd go on walk somewhere. Yeah. No problem.
So in these weeks before, did he have kind of like maybe a pattern? Like he'd maybe a Friday night to go meet his buddies at the bar, and Saturday, like, did he have like a pattern of, you know, how he handled each week, or was it more random?
It was pretty much on the fly. If he'd meet a friend or something like that, he'd go out hanging out with them for a couple, a day or two, or overnight, or sometimes a week or whatnot. But, Dad wouldn't be gone for no longer, a week at the most, anywhere. Couldn't see him, pretty much knew where Dad would be at.
And he had his own house or apartment or something like that?
Nope, he did not have a place. He would stay at my brother's up on the mountain.
Okay.
And he would stay down to Donald Adams.
Okay, we'll get into him for a second, okay. Okay, so he was kind of just, he stayed with your brother. How, at this point in 2000, how far away did you live from where this happened? Where were you living at the time?
When Dad went missing, I had moved up here to Madison Heights probably back in 96, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Just before my son was born, 98, and I was working for heating, plumbing, electrical, and HVAC.
Okay.
And
how far is Madison Heights? How far is that from Bedford?
Probably, I'd say a good 30 miles, I would say.
Okay.
30 miles from Bedford. I had moved up here, because I was pretty much starting my family again. So,
right.
Make my own track in this world, yes, sir.
So you would say, being that you said he'd stay with your brother sometimes, so what you're telling me, this brother of yours, I'm sorry, I didn't catch his name, brother?
Oh, James.
Brother James. James. Okay, James Jr., okay. So your brother James got to see your dad, I guess, more than you did? Just because of the distance, okay.
My brother and my sister lived right across the road from where Dad was pretty much last staying at and everything. So my sister probably wouldn't even a sixth of a mile from there.
Okay. So when was the last time you spoke to your dad before he disappeared?
Dad, like I said, last time I actually talked to Dad or anything like that was about 2 months before then.
2 months?
Yeah.
Was that usual?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get down there that much because I was working pretty much all the time and everything like that. And then, you know, of course, my son was about a year and a half old then. So, you know, it's pretty much being tied down and not getting around to go see the family a whole lot. You know, I wish that I had in hindsight.
Sure.
You know, it was just, you know, it was just with everything that's going on and everything like that. But you know, I would believe, you know, 17 years.
Yeah.
It's almost 17 years now.
When you talk to him or, you know, afterwards, when you, of course, talk to your brother about this disappearance or, you know, whatever happened, do you remember your father ever saying, you know, I'm a little worried about this? Did he have a concern about anything? Did your brother ever say that to you?
No, sir.
No? Wasn't, no, to your knowledge, he wasn't having a problem with anybody or?
No, nothing with anybody or anything like that.
Okay, great. Who was the, as far as you know, who was the, that you, that, let's put it this way, the last person that you trust, who was the last person to talk to your dad before he disappeared that you trust?
That would be my sister.
That would be your sister. Okay.
Yes, sir.
And that was
about 2 days before Dad was reported missing.
Okay. And she, once again, nothing really, looking back at that conversation, perked her interest and said, man, I'm really worried about my dad or anything like that?
No, sir.
No. Okay. Now, we're going to go through some names because some names are going to be thrown around here very shortly. And I just want you to tell the listeners who these people are. We're not going to get into too deep into it, but we just need to line out who some of these people are. Who is Donald Adams?
Donald Adams was Dad's friend. That would be the person that Dad would pretty much hang out with. Dad had known him for years. From being up there working with doing some tree work and stuff like that. They pretty much got to hang out together. Dad would stay with them sometimes, and sometimes it would be extended time, you know, and all. So, you know, Dad
how long did they know? By the year 2000 came around, how long had the two known each other?
I would say probably 8 years.
Okay, since the early 90s then. Okay.
Yeah, I would say about early 90s, yeah.
Okay. Who is Juanita?
Juanita was, at the time, was married to Donald.
Okay.
Juanita is a quarter.
Okay.
Originally. And now, since she's married.
We don't want to go into any more last names than that. But we'll just say Juanita was married to Donald. So at one time, she was Juanita Adams. Okay. So we know that at the time in 2000, the two of them were married. Okay. Who is Rose?
Rose was friends with Juanita.
Okay.
And I don't know how she kind of come into the picture back then.
Okay.
She had a past on her that she had gotten into a little bit of trouble right before, pretty much before Dad went missing.
Okay.
A couple months before then, she had gotten a little bit of trouble with criminal child neglect.
Okay, well, that's fine. But she is not related in any way to Juanita or Donald. She's just a friend.
No, sir.
Okay. And then the last person is Bruce. Who's he?
Bruce was Juanita's brother.
Okay.
He know, I've never met the man myself, and I do vaguely remember Rose,
mm-hmm.
but Bruce, he has since passed,
mm.
Since all of this has come up. He's been deceased for years.
Okay. Were all those people at that time around your dad's age, like he was in his early to mid-50s, is that how old they were? Were they younger? Or?
As Rose was younger, a lot younger.
Mm-hmm.
She's just a few years older than I am.
Okay.
Juanita, I'm assuming she was probably a little bit younger than Dad. And Bruce, I don't know how old Bruce was.
Mm-hmm.
Donald, I think he was probably younger than Dad.
Okay. Did you know them at the time? Had you ever met any of them, or?
You know, I knew Donald and Juanita.
Okay.
Didn't know them personally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd gone by there to pick up Dad and everything like that. Never hung out with them or anything like that. Yeah, me personally, I didn't care too much for them back then. And
okay.
And everything like that, but you know, of course, I was trying to be my own man back then.
So, sure.
You know, I was hanging out with my own buds. You know, we didn't want to hang out with a bunch of old people.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. But you weren't, but knowing them, maybe you didn't care for them, but they were your dad's friends, and you just accepted that. That's just the way it was.
Exactly.
Okay. Now let's get to the day of the disappearance. And what we're going to do first is I want you, of course, to tell the story, but I want you to keep in mind, I just want you to tell the story that Donald Adams and the rest of these people put on the record to start. And then we'll go back through afterwards and kind of take it apart. Okay, so I know that you're going to be telling me some things that I know necessarily aren't true or you don't believe. But I think that we have to put the listeners at that point, at that time, back then. Okay, and then we'll show you how you kind of dissected that yourself in some of the things that you did. So you tell me what allegedly happened that day that your dad disappeared.
Well, the official, when it first come in, that Dad was missing,
mm-hmm.
You know, I was notified that, this is what I was told, that it was Donald Adams, Juanita, and Dad. There was only three people in the vehicle down at the food line.
Okay.
They said that Dad, waited out on the park bench out in front of the food line. Donald and Juanita went in the store,
mm-hmm.
and then when he come back out, Dad was gone.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Let's just clear something up. So your dad the night before had stayed at their place. They get up in the morning, and the three of them allegedly jump in the car and go to food line.
That's correct.
Okay, please continue.
All right. Upon finding the, the videotape of
mm-hmm.
who all was there, I was notified that it was not Juanita in the car,
mm-hmm.
and which they made a report that, she was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was in the video, it showed Donald Adams, Rose Dooley, and Bruce Carter in it.
Hmm. And we should explain something, though, about this video. The video had some problems with it, didn't it?
That's correct.
What was the difficulty? Just very shortly, what was the difficulty in watching the video?
All right. With the video, it shows the car coming around. Okay, it's going from right to left.
Mm-hmm.
It comes in, you can see inside the door, so it's the glare. It goes out in the parking lot, and it parks probably, from what I can remember, probably about 60 feet out in the parking lot.
Okay.
50 to 60 feet out in the parking lot. Could not see because the sun was down so low, and from the video that I can remember, it was about 9:15-ish in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
just didn't see anybody get out of glare. We were supposed to glare.
Because it was the glare was so bad.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you could see Donald, Rose, and Bruce come through the corner of the outside of the store, then come inside the store and do their shopping. They were in there, I'm saying, probably about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 15 at most. Got the groceries. Went back out to the store and left.
Okay. Now let's back up a little bit so the listeners don't get confused. Donald Adams' original story was that he, Juanita, and your dad were the only three, okay? And so when they came back out, they said that your dad was supposed to be outside. He had disappeared, and they contacted contacted the police, right? We'll get into that in a second, all right? Right?
Exactly.
That was the first story that officially went on the record, okay? That it was just the three of them. Donald, Juanita, and your dad, those two go inside. Your dad comes, stays outside. They come back out. He's gone. They say he's missing. All right. Bobby, where were you when you found out that your dad had disappeared? What were you doing?
I was actually out on a job site. I think I was probably down in Rustburg,
mm-hmm.
which is right outside of Lynchburg. Work on my home. Found out that they just called and said dad was missing. You know, why would they even report dad missing? And I was like, first thing I thought, okay, dad just went with one of his friends. He'll show back up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was no big. You know, me personally back then, I didn't think nothing of it. You know, I was like, it was kind of strange, but, I was like, okay, dad just went with my friends and everything would be fine. All right.
Did you come up and join in the initial search that day? And where did that search go? What did they do?
The initial search around there, I think it was just the law enforcement. That was on that Friday.
Mm-hmm.
They just pretty much just went around looking, looked around just right in that area. Of course, they didn't find nothing.
There was some woods nearby, right? They went into the woods.
Yeah.
And
they walked over to the edge of the woods, looked out there, hollered for them. I can remember all of that. But I just back then I didn't think nothing more of it because I just knew dad was fine.
Yeah.
If dad went off somewhere, he was with a friend, and everything was gonna be fine. Dad'd be back up 2 days later. In hindsight, man, it just clicked in my head that a lot of the, I wouldn't.
That something didn't make sense. Something didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it should be noted, I think that you told the listeners your dad's 6'7". He'd stick out.
That's right.
If he was, left and walking along the street, people were going to remember that.
Well, Dad knew a lot of people.
Yeah.
And if he was walking that road, somebody would have picked him up. Plain and simple. And took him home, took him back, took him home.
Yeah.
I mean, when we lived down in the city, everybody knew Dad. I mean, Dad'd stick out, man. Just, like a sore thumb, or I should say, Dad, everybody knew who he was.
Okay. Now, we now know that it was something different, but you talked about this tape. It was you who actually ended up getting this tape, not the police.
Yeah,
you were the one who tracked this tape down from the food line. That is very unique, I have to tell you, Bobby. I'm very impressed by that. Tell me how you did that.
Actually, I was going to CDC, the local school here for my plumbing certificate, and my teacher, they went missing on the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my teacher contacted me that Sunday, which was the, I think it was the 9th, and he asked me, he said, I tell you what I'm going to do, he said, I want to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Pete Peters.
Wow.
He said, I tell you what, he said, I'm going to cancel class Monday. He said, we're going to get together Monday. We're going to ride the buffer. We're going to go look, you know, just ask some questions.
So, yeah.
I said, that's great. You know, I'll maybe find out what's going on. And so me and him went down there, and he said, you know what? He said, why wouldn't Bootline would have a video in there?
Yeah.
And he said, well, so we went in there and asked the manager to see the video, and he started out that morning. He was running the video and everything like that, and then we caught a glimpse of them coming in.
Mm-hmm.
We backed it up, looked at it, and I was like, I just could not believe that the department didn't, you know, think of that.
And how, just so the listeners can remember, how many days after the disappearance was this?
That was Friday, Sunday, Monday. That was pretty much 3 days.
So 3 days, that tape.
A full day, yeah.
Okay. But 3 days still. 3 days between the disappearance and you getting the tape, and not once did Food Lion ever say to you, you know what, the police have been in here, they already looked at the tape, and they said it's nothing.
Nope.
No.
It was pretty much they hadn't even been contacted about it or even asked.
Wow.
I just got so lucky that the tape was found, because it, you know, once you get into the story a little bit
more, yeah, sure.
You, it's like we would still believe it was just dad and want a dad and Juanita and Donald there.
Right.
If it wasn't for the tape, we wouldn't have known about this other people.
Now I'm going to ask you something, because I wanted you to try to put the listeners in that. I used to work for 7-Eleven way back in the day, so I know like what one of those little offices with the VHS tapes, you know, and everything kind of looks like. You're watching that tape in there. What was your first emotion when you saw that what the story that those people told was a lie?
Yep, I was furious. I called the police department that night.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, hey, you know, we got an officer down there, I can't remember what his name was,
mm-hmm.
To look at the tape with us, and he was kind of, you know, he's like, wow, he's a, you know, he's pretty much, he was kind of like, he was kind of surprised that, you know, things went right.
Yeah.
And then, so, and just, and, you know, with everything going on and everything like that, is why I hadn't all this other stuff that we're going to talk about.
Right.
Why hadn't anybody made any charges for falsifying information?
Okay. Now we're going to do this one more time, because this can get a little confusing for the listeners. We're going to say it again.
Yes, sir.
The story, the official story that was original in the original police report, was that it was Donald, Juanita, and your dad that came. Right. Your dad stayed outside. What you saw on the videotape was that, at least from what you can tell, considering there was all this glare, it was actually Donald and who else again?
Rose Dooley and Bruce Carter.
Bruce Carter. So that, technically, Juanita was not even there.
That is correct.
And as far as you can tell, looking at the video once again with all this glare, and it was a little tough to see, you didn't see your dad in that video either, did you?
Nope, absolutely not. And,
okay.
You know, we're going to talk about a little bit more about that.
Right? Yes, please. We're going to do it. We're actually going to do it right now. So you have this tape. You get it to the police. What happens?
Well, let's see. Tracy, he finally.
Well, let's make sure who we know. We don't want to start using first names here without an explanation. Tracy Pennell, P-A-N-N-E-L-L?
That's correct.
All right. He is the officer on the case. And why is he on the case?
He was requested.
By?
Donald Adams.
All right, so the guy who originally told this false story, when the cops were originally called on that day, Donald, when he finally did, he did call in that your dad was missing. He requested this particular police. Excuse me.
It was hours later.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay. But he requested this particular cop.
That's correct.
All right. And why do you think that is?
They were friends.
Wow. For how long? Do you know?
For years.
For years and years.
Yes. From what I can remember, I remember them working together back when we always called them Renapigs. It was basically called Defense Security.
Okay, Renapigs. Okay.
Yeah. And they maintained control and apartment complex over on the other side of town.
All right, just so we're clear again, once again, a guy who, according to the video, filed a false police report, requested a particular cop. Now, once again, we'll get back to what you were asking. What did Tracy do when you gave him the tape?
Tracy, the video was found on the 10th. All right. The 13th, Tracy finally looked at the tape. Okay, a couple days later.
Wow.
That was Thursday. Okay, it's almost a week. I don't know why it took him so long to get it. But he called me and said, like, you know, I looked at the tape today, you know, trying to figure out who all's in it and everything like that. On the 14th, a copy was made of the tape. That was a Friday back in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
A copy was made, and one was given to me, and I had to make, I didn't. Have to sign a chain of custody, which we're going to get into a little bit that later.
Okay. Sure.
Some of that stuff you cannot find. And then on the 18th, that's when I found out it was Bruce and Rose Dooley in the video. That when I found out from the police department, that's who was in the video.
All right, so when you were watching the video, you at first didn't know who those people were.
That I did not know.
Okay, all you knew, it was just wasn't the people Donald said.
That's correct.
Okay.
I knew it was Donald in there, but I did not know who the other two people were.
Okay.
Personally.
Okay, so that wasn't until 11 days after the disappearance that you found that out. What continued to go on with these tapes?
Well, when I found out after that he looked at the video, stories changed.
Donald's stories changed. They were confronted, and Donald's stories changed.
Exactly.
Okay.
It went from Dad, instead of Dad being in sitting on the park bench, that Dad was standing beside the car.
Uh-huh.
All right. And then, you know, of course, it went from supposedly three people in the car to four people in the car, getting out of the car. All right.
Wow.
And, you know, later on in the years, and I don't know when, I've tried to find out who's changed the story again, that they said Dad didn't even get out of the car. Dad sat in the car instead of even hopping out of the car to smoke a cigarette. So, you know, stories changed a lot.
And the story was changed by Donald Adams himself.
Yep. And
the police have really just decided to go along with this?
Well, the problem was with the police, pretty much now that's the only thing that they can pretty much accept the story as, because the original officer, Tracy,
had
so much slide back then, as far as not, you change your story, you know, ain't no big deal, blah, 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 we'll let you slide, okay, we'll kind of fine-tune it a little bit for the public, and, you know, well, don't worry about the family. That's the way I felt. Personally, it's like, you know, family don't need to worry about it, you know, we'll just change it, nobody's going to catch it, or whatnot, you know.
Mm-hmm. So just to be clear, he's never – the Donald Adams or any of them, even the people who we see on the video who were actually there, have never been charged with anything as even a filing a false police report.
That is correct. Nothing.
Okay. I'm wondering if for the listeners, maybe you can go into a little more detail about this video and what makes it so tough. You told me about the glare. There is – I mean, this is not, you know, HD – video, it's security video, and then on top of it, once again, the sun is shining because the store points east and it's in the morning. The sun was shining right in there. So I've not seen the tape. You have seen the tape. Is there any wiggle room in any of that? Is it possible that, yes, they might have lied about who was actually went into the store and everything, but is it possible that your dad, they thought your dad got out of the car and walked to the bench by the store, but he really did stay in the car? Let's just say, for example, is that possible?
I guess it could be possible.
Okay.
As far as, because with the glare, I can't be 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, I'm sitting here looking at one of the run of times on Wednesday, April 19th of 2000, when the videotape was said to be sent off to somebody to try to clear the tape up, trying to fix the glare,
mm-hmm.
To see if Dad would possibly have been in there or gotten out,
mm-hmm.
or not, and everything like that. And that's kind of another thing that I'm having a problem with. Is said in April of 2000, the department supposedly said that Tracy Purnell said,
mm-hmm.
that the department was going to send it off.
Yeah.
All right. In August of the same year, 2000.
Okay.
Tad Dickens, which was the reporter out of Run of Times, was doing the story on Dad, and he had spoke to Tracy Purnell again about videotape and everything like that. So, he comes back. He said that there was force at the lake throughout the glove. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd like the listeners to kind of try to put this in their head.
Yeah, sure. Please do. Yes.
You've got a video camera that's sitting in the ceiling of a store, probably, rough estimate, 20 feet high,
mm-hmm.
18 to 20 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
Inside of the store, looking out of the store. Looking at it. This was about a 97, 98 Ford Taurus that they had.
Mm-hmm.
You know how low the car seat sits to the ground.
Yes.
Okay, and supposedly this tape was so, actually so good that they cleared it up so good they seen four sets of legs get out of the car.
So two people, and just so we know, the car is parked to the left, the nose is to the left, so the driver's side is facing toward the camera.
That's right.
And okay, so I'm going to guess Donald Adams was driving. So he gets out, and somebody else gets out in the back on that side, and then two people get out on the other side of the car. And what you're saying is from where the camera's positioned, it would be impossible for the camera to peer under the car to see the legs on the other side.
That is it, man.
Okay.
I would bet money on this. I would ask the people that are probably going to listen to this,
mm-hmm.
to actually go outside one day, stand, just stand there, put a car probably 60 feet out in front of you, and see if you can see another set of legs or feet get out from the other side of the car.
Yeah.
Okay.
Impossible.
Exactly.
Impossible.
And I, with the video, which one thing I've been kind of driving on more than anything. Back in 2014, I was I tried everything I could to get the department kind of benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
All right. I was like, well, it's Tracy made the statement that he seen four sets of legs get out of the car. I was like, okay. I asked the department, which was back in with Shannon Simmons. She was my go-to person at the time with Dad's case.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, y'all supposed to have this video of this comment right here. I said, this, I can't make this up. I said, this was printed in the Run of Times that he spoke, that Tracy Purnell spoke to the department about the video that he seen four sets of legs get out. I mean, they cleared that tape up, and I want to see it.
Yeah.
I'd never seen it.
Yes.
You know, I had a copy of it, and I sent it to some friends. You know, a friend of mine sent it to some friends over at Liberty University. They couldn't clean it up that good, and you know, they couldn't do anything with it. But but their take, it shows such force at the leg that I'm like, okay, they have the original tape, but
yeah,
there's no updated copy. I don't have the updated copy. I said, you know, if y'all seen force at the leg, I mean, that is evidence showing that, you know, possibly my dad was there.
Right. And, it could be.
And I said, well, I want to know, okay, where did y'all send the video off? Well, the department has no record of it. It's like, you know, don't y'all see something kind of consistent here? You know, this one officer is letting this one person slide on so much stuff, and then he makes this false statement that the department cannot back up. I've worked with this since 2014.
Yeah.
Now it's, you know, almost 2017. They have not yet confirmed. I mean, I know the department's not you know, 30 miles long or whatnot. Anything.
Right.
You know, it's either yes or no. Y'all messed up. I mean, the officer's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what you're saying is that this original copy. They might have made another copy, maybe. You still have a copy to this day.
I do not.
You don't. What happened to the copy they made for you?
The copy that they made for me, I gave it to Pete Peters, and you know, he's the one to help me with the finding the original video. They took it over to the editing department over at Liberty University.
Yeah.
And they tried to clear it up, and they said they couldn't do nothing with it, and you know. In hindsight,
then you never got the tape back.
I kicked myself for not asking for it back, and I wished I had.
Wow!
I would have thought I could have just got another copy from them back then, and I was like, well, maybe they'll find something, you know, they'll start finding something out or anything like that. And I was believing the department and believing Donald Adams. And all trying to find, you know.
Even though you knew on that tape that they were no offense, please, no offense.
Yeah.
Even though you knew on that they had lied, just seeing the tape, you didn't even have to see the outside stuff to know that they lied. You just had to see the inside stuff, which is very clear. You can see the stuff very, very clear that it's different people than what they said. So you gave that
the video inside the store was actually really good.
Really good.
See them, yeah. And but the outside, looking out the window. It was horrible, man. I mean, it was bad.
So, what year was that you gave that tape to Liberty University? What year?
It was back in 2000.
Oh my!
It was right after Dad.
Have you ever gone back over there and tried to ask them for it and find it?
I have, and I've got friends that are over in the departments and stuff like that, and. Of course, I didn't know until what I know now.
Oh my!
2014, because you know all these bits and pieces was coming in from left and right until I started looking at it back in 2014 and had all of it in front of me. Hey, it's like you would talk to one part. This is how bad it was. They would talk to the Lynchburg Daily Advance and the Bedford Advance. And the Roanoke Times, and it was like three different stories.
Yeah,
that was going on. You know, as who was there, about what happened. Some of them, the Roanoke Times is the only one that mentioned the videotape. You know, and I think Tad Dickens for what he did, because you know he took the statement from Tracy Purnell that they sent the video off. And, you know, nothing was ever found of it, you know, because, I know now that a lot of stuff was fabricated.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. How many people of the copy that you got that is now, we're going to guess, it went to Liberty University,
yeah.
And I'm going to guess that they've tossed it in the last 17 years. I'm going to guess.
Yeah. I would think so. And I've even contacted Food Line back in 2014, and I wish this would have come out back a little bit earlier, but Food Line actually kept it for 7 years before they destroyed the tapes of the day just in case this issue. And, you know, seven years it kind of blew my mind, but I was like, I was 7 years too short, too.
Right. But I'm wondering, that tape that you made a copy of, how many other people saw that tape, not in the police, but of your personal copy? You got it. You took it home. You saw it, showed it to your professor. How many other people saw that video besides yourself?
With my wife.
And your wife?
My wife. And, yeah, of course, my son was too young then.
Okay. Did your sister, your other brother who lived in the area, did they ever get to see your copy of the tape?
No, sir.
Okay. Your professor, though, got to see the copy.
That's correct.
Oh, he got this. All I'm asking is, if this ever does get to a point where there's some grand jury or something, they're probably going to want more than just your word.
That's correct.
You know, of what was on that tape. Okay, I just wanted we're going to just put that right out there for the listeners to hear. Okay, just to keep in mind. I want to go over a couple more things about the tape, and just a couple things that I thought was interesting, and I've, of course, not seen the tape, but what you told me about it. On that tape, after Donald and Rose and Bruce, they came into the store, they made their purchases, they went back out to the car. At any point, did it seem like they were concerned that somebody, that your dad was missing? Meaning, when they got out to their car, as far as you can tell from the glare, did they stop? Did they look around? Did they walk back into the store? Did they walk up one way down the street or the other way looking for your dad?
No, sir. What I remember is just them going back out and leaving.
They just got in the car and left as if your dad wasn't there. Or I suppose they're going to say he was in the car, but then once again, why would they file a missing persons report if he was sitting in the car?
And I'll get into that while I'm thinking about it, is when they left, they rode back up on the mountain, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which ain't no hop, skip, and jump. It's probably about 11 miles.
What mountain are we talking about? What mountain?
Taylor's Mountain.
Okay.
And they went up there. Bruce stayed up there. Rose stayed up there. And then they got Juanita. They rode back down to the store, down the Food Line, which probably took them probably about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, something like that,
mm-hmm.
and reported Dad missing. Now, if anybody that knew Dad, if Dad was gone for a day, two, you didn't have to worry about it. I mean, Dad was his own man.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, why did they report him missing so quick? That's one thing that kind of threw a red flag for me. It's like, why would they even call the police that he was missing if he seen a friend of his, he would guide with him and went somewhere?
Yeah, that's a good point too. Yes,
that's a no-brainer to me because I mean that's how it would.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that's when they come back down there and they reported Dad missing. That's when the first original story went that, Dad was Juanita, Dad, and Donald.
Okay. And there could be no confusion that they were reporting your dad missing the first trip to the store, not the second trip.
Nope. They basically, when they reported him missing,
that's
when the official report, which was later in the day, that he went missing. Right then.
Right.
They didn't tell them that they went back up on the mountain and, got, because we didn't know about the other people right then.
Yeah, yes, yes.
It was just, they just come out of the store and Dad was gone right then and there. Basically.
Right, so when he filed that report, he never mentioned that he had been at the store just an hour and a half before that.
Correct. Exactly.
Okay. And once again, I want to point out to the listeners, once again, in the video, you as Bobby's explained, the first trip around, They just came right out, got in their car, and left as if your dad wasn't there.
Exactly.
And then the second time when Juanita and Donald came in, they didn't even go in the store. They just got there and called the police.
Exactly. Now, when I was talking about the timestamp on the video, it was about like 9:15.
Mm-hmm, the first one,
On the first one, okay, 10:45, when Dad was reported missing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was pretty much enough time to get up there and get the other one and come back down, I would say.
Yeah.
30 minutes back, something like that. So, you know, that's about right. But it's just, you know, they reported him missing then instead of like in video, which was actually an hour or so earlier.
Right. Right. I want to ask you something about the food line. That wasn't the closest. If they were interested in going to the grocery store, that wasn't actually even the closest grocery store to where they lived, was it?
Exactly. Now, Bruce, he lived on the opposite side of town, which I found out after the fact, after all this videotape and everything started happening, that they went to pick Bruce up. It was Donald and Rose that picked Bruce up over near Raintree. Okay, Raintree was on the south side of town.
Mm-hmm.
West side of town, I'm sorry. West side of town. All right. They had to go by they had a Winn-Dixie there. They had a Vista Food, which was grocery store. Probably wasn't even a mile from where they, from where Bruce was living at.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of that, they went on the other side of town, which is probably, I'd say, about a 5 mile trip from one side of town to the other.
And they never explained why they went to that particular food line instead of going to those grocery stores that were closer to where they live.
Exactly. And that I have not had no explanation.
No explanation whatsoever. I know this is. I have to ask this because maybe the listeners, just to get really crazy, is it possible that they knew that the video system at the food line outside was a little messed up? I mean, have you ever thought
that? You know, I have not known, or they might not have even thought they had a camera facing outside. See, I don't know, like the Dixie, they might have had a. Outside camera or anything like that. The only reason why we got lucky with Dad is inside the store, the videotape was pointing outside. The camera was pointing outside, but it wasn't showing the whole parking lot. You know, it didn't show all the way out there, 100 yards out there to where the road was.
Yeah.
But, or 50 yards or something like that. But, because I know Vista Food. Now talking about that, Vista Food, I know they had an outside camera. I know for a fact they did.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember when they did it or not.
You know, I'm pointing this out because, we're going to get into this in a second. If your dad was not there, that means he was somewhere else and maybe something happened to him somewhere else. Mm-hmm. It just seems odd to me that they would try to establish some sort of an alibi at a place where everybody knows there are video cameras.
Yep.
Unless they knew that the place that they were going to establish an alibi was at a place where a video camera points right into the sun at a particular time of the day. I mean, this is getting a little crazy, but that's what happened.
Exactly.
You know, that's what happened.
And that's very possible. Because if it was later in the day, we'd have seen better. And if it was an hour later, it's like 10:40 something, the sun would have been up a whole lot higher. And of course, you wouldn't have seen that big glare.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to something else because maybe the listeners already maybe know a little bit where this is going. I think that we've established that it's a highly probable that your dad was never at that food line. He was somewhere else. Okay.
That is what is believed now. Yes.
Okay. Now, then it comes to the question, why would these people do this? Okay, because as you stated at the beginning, Donald and your dad had been friends for years. You know, and to your knowledge, although you might have not have cared for Donald, your dad was friends with him for years, seemed to get along with him, and there, to your knowledge, there never been any complaints. But there, we have to talk about this. There was a rumor going around. What was that rumor?
That dad had slept with Juanita, which is dad's wife, and it was stated on Facebook that one of the people on there had stated that that dad had told him that he had been sleeping with Donald's wife, Juanita. Now, me personally, I don't know. I can't confirm that because, you know, nobody else has said that. You know, of course, you don't hear rumors no matter what.
Right.
But, you know, that could be motive. You know, that one thing that I'm trying to wrap my head around is why. You know, what's the reasoning behind of murder, I should say.
Right. How long after your dad disappeared did you hear this rumor? How soon did that pop up?
That popped up in 2015.
So it was like 15 years later that rumor popped up.
That's correct.
You know, because, wow.
It was, you know, everything was started snowballing on dad's case in 2014, and in 2015, a lot of stuff was coming out. A lot of stuff was coming out about what was going on in dad's case.
Huh. Okay. Do any of your siblings believe this rumor?
As far as dad,
you ever talk about it? Just say, what do you think of this?
No, it's just nasty thinking about it, man. Be honest.
Okay.
I guess that's how I think of it. Of her, I should say.
Okay.
But everybody's human.
Yeah.
You know, people do funny stuff like that, and you know that I can't tell you.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's move on. Your dad's wallet. It was found. Where was it found?
Well, no, it was not found. Okay.
I thought on our previous conversation that you told me that it was found. Was I wrong about that?
It was talked about when they was questioning Rose back in 2014 that Rose had said something about that they had dad's wallet. That nobody, as far as I know, had had possession of dad's wallet as far as the apartment, no family members or anything like that. But Rose, when she was being interviewed, back on the, I'll tell you exactly when it was, December, when she was questioned.
December of what year?
2014.
14, okay.
That she was remembered something about dad's wallet, and that's what this is what was relayed to me through Shannon Salmon, that she was working on dad's case.
And remind the listeners, who is Shannon? I'm sorry, Shannon.
Shannon Simmons was the original officer that brought dad's case back up and reopened dad's case back in 2000.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yep.
And then Rose told her that the wallet, she had seen it.
Yes. And it was brought back up in on the, let's say, that was the 12th, that she remembered something about that wallet, because they was questioning her a lot. Now Rose is lawyered up.
Oh, okay.
But she... even if it was brought back up on the 27th, about dad's wallet again. But I don't know what happened to it.
Okay.
Me personally, if my wallet's out of my pocket, I'd better be dead.
Me too.
The way I look at it.
Me too.
That's my lifeline. It's got all your ID in it. You got your it's you in your pocket, I should say.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they had Dad's wallet, that brings question up to me as far as what happened to it. I mean, where did it go to, and why did they have Dad's wallet?
Did Donald and Juanita, have they also been questioned in the last few years since this all got started again in 2014?
Yes, they have been questioning Rose and Juanita pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
Donald's kind of been elusive.
Okay.
He comes up with this, I'm in bad health. I can't get out or anything like that, but yet he's pretty much seen just about every morning down at McDonald's.
Have you ever confronted him about this, Bobby?
You know, me personally, that's one thing I'm kind of scared of.
Yeah, I would not encourage that, but I'm just saying, have you ever had a chance to talk to him over the years?
I have wanted to.
Okay.
But my emotions. You know, and I'm being honest with you.
I know. I appreciate that. Thank you.
And you know, I punch him. I mean, plain simple way. And I'm not telling no more what else I do. But I'm thankful. You know, I'm kind of glad where I'm with at right now.
Yeah.
I was down there and I was around him.
That'd be tough. Let's just leave it at this. We don't want to go too deep into that. It would be tough. It would be difficult. But none of them, just to get this on the record, none of them have ever offered a reasonable explanation for the reason they had one story, and then they had another story, and then they had another story. None of that.
Exactly, and you know when they was kind of fishing around looking for Dad stuff. Back in 2014, Juanita sent, you know, everybody's got Facebook now.
Yeah.
You got an inbox, you know, with his personal messages that they sent a message. She first sent a message to my sister. First thing she said, I did not cheat her dad. Oh, okay. First thing you don't think, like, why are you telling me that? And who said Dad was dead?
Yeah. Right.
And of course, I got the message a couple days later. She inboxed me, and, you know, we had a good long conversation about the stuff. But, I ain't going to leave nothing up high and dry.
Sure.
But Juanita kind of put the blame off on possibly Rose and Donald doing something. And the department has this information now and all, and, you know,
and Bruce is dead. He's right. He's not with us anymore.
That's correct.
And Juanita and Donald, they're not married anymore.
Nope. They separated probably a year or so after Dad disappeared.
Okay. Okay. So this is still ongoing. Got kind of heated up again in 2014. And
it is still a pretty active case.
Yeah.
Now, back in 2014, early 2015,
mm-hmm.
My sister, Tiny, and the chief of police went before the Commonwealth attorney.
Okay.
Talked about stuff that's going on within the department, you know, why that they don't have the updated tape.
Mm-hmm.
My concerns about Tracy.
Yeah.
And all. And the since then, the county has taken over Dad's case instead of the city police department.
Okay.
It was the city police department in the beginning. Well, it's a town now, but back in the city, but it's town police department now. But the county took over Dad's case, and the state has overlooked the investigation within the department of the how do you say it?
by Tracy Pinnell and how the police handled that.
That's correct.
What's Tracy Pinnell? Is he still a cop?
No. Last that I know, he was a security officer up in Roanoke. And, as a matter of fact, Mr. Pinnell was on Facebook. And since then, I found him on Facebook. I sent him a message, personal message.
Yeah.
I wasn't vulgar. The only thing I said, I didn't say I didn't point him out or anything like that. I said, I'm not going to give up on Dad. I'm going to keep fighting for Dad until he gets justice for Dad.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much about a month later, once this investigation starts going on, he pulls Houdini's and pulls off. He's deactivated his Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's been deactivated since then. I still go on there from time to time to check to see if he's back on it. I want to think on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because, back when Dad first went missing, I remember a conversation I had with him. A lot of listeners, man, this is how bad it was.
Okay, tell us.
He called. He left a message to call him back. Of course, back then, we had caller ID. I called him back on the phone he called from. First thing he did, he said, I said, Tracy, it's a bomb. He said, pretty much said, who is this? I said, it's a bomb. I won't. First thing comes out of his mouth, instead of saying, I'm that's Dad's case, whatnot, nothing. He says, why are you calling me on this line? I'm pretty much, here I am, I'm feeling violated by this man, because here I am calling on his personal line in the office at the department. Of course, if I call the department, he should answer.
Yeah.
And here I am getting the third degree of him saying, well, what are you doing this call? He said, what are you doing calling this line? He said, this is a private line. Nobody should call. Be calling it. And he was really rude to me.
Mm-hmm.
That evening. And right then and there, I pretty much knew that I was going to be fighting a losing battle with him.
Let me ask you this about Tracy Pinnell. Looking back at it now, do you think that he was just incompetent, or do you think he was crooked?
I know there's a lot of good cops. I know a lot of good ones. Everything to the T.
Yeah.
But they are crooked, and I firmly believe he is a crooked cop.
He's crooked?
Yep. And I firmly believe that. And there's a lot of, I guess you say, rumors about stuff he's done and all. And back then, I remember seeing stuff happening with some of the other officers back when I was going up. Because, back then, it was pretty rough little town. And how some of them, they abused their authority, I should say.
Yeah, we get that a lot on the show. You should know. We get that a lot.
I really hate the bash cop. Because they're out there trying to make a living, but this particular one, I have absolutely no use for it.
Okay.
Just the way it was treated, and after finding out about a lot of the stuff he said, when Shannon went up there to ask him about Dad back in 2014. When she was asking, she said, she was an honest cop, man.
Yeah.
I tell you what, man, she was honest as you can believe, man. And she didn't want to tell me, but she had the heart to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
She sat there and she said she just wanted to ask him, went to visit him, and she said, first thing he said, well, he's out there. And she said, this is where he comes with me. He said, this is pretty much the attitude he had to me. He's out there somewhere, and he's all right, it's like, what the,
Yeah. So you, this new detective or new policeman in 2014, this Shannon, she talked to Tracy Pinnell, and he wasn't too forthcoming.
That's correct.
Okay. Let's just cover a couple more things here that are definitely relevant. Twice since 2000, they've dug for your father. Do you know the reasons for that?
From information being coming in to him, January of 2000, they dug.
Couldn't have been 2000. Might have been 2001.
2001. I'm sorry.
Okay.
2001, January 2001, they dug up there at the trailer that Donald and Juanita lived in.
Okay.
They, if you're looking out the front door of the trailer, there's a little small hand-built pond. They had information that Dad was buried in that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was coming from an inmate down at the county sheriff's department. And they went up there and dug. They spent pretty much a full day up there with machinery and dug and looked for Dad and, you know, had cadaver dogs, looking around up there, but couldn't find nothing.
Nothing.
Right there. You're just thinking about it, you're just looking to the left out front. All right, and I meant today in the last interview, they did search another pond on the other side of the mountain for Dad.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was November of 2014. But it was kind of disguised as a training exercise.
Hmm.
With the state police, which they have to get certified every so often. And they got to go to different locations to dive and whatnot. So they used it as a training exercise as they were looking for my dad.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Then back in 2015, it was July of 2015, they had some more information, state and county, and the town was working on it. They went up there to the trailer again. Instead of digging to the left of the trailer as you're looking out, they dug to the right. They got machinery up there, and they spent a whole week up there digging for Dad.
Nothing.
That I cannot confirm or deny.
Bobby, let's get right to it. What do you believe happened to your dad?
I believe, personally, that Dad was killed.
Okay. Murdered. Okay.
He's up, Dad's somewhere on the mountain buried. There's a lot of land up there. I mean, acres upon acres.
Have you thought about a motive?
That's the only problem that I cannot wrap my head around. That the motive more than anything. I don't know. And with talking with some of the investigators, he said, you might be surprised. He said, because they're trying to figure out about it too, of course.
Yeah.
That he said it could have just been something for fun, or just sports of the moment, or
right.
Or a possible accident. It's just there's no 100%, and they believe
Dad's murdered. You're thinking possibly, we're just throwing this out there, just a bunch of guys sitting around drinking some beers, yeah. Word, somebody offends somebody for no real good reason, just a couple too many in them, somebody loses their temper, something happens, your dad maybe is the brunt of it or gets in the middle of it. And then they feel like they need to cover up because maybe one of them, has a felony already or something. And so they tried to cover it up, and they took care of it over that night. And then that morning they tried to establish an alibi.
Yeah, and that's what I honestly believe. But, there has been the story that there was a party up there the night before that.
Yeah.
That I don't know, I kick myself a lot of times, because I wish I still lived up there.
Yeah.
When Dad was missing, maybe by now I could have been found or something like that.
Yeah.
Or Dad would still be living.
Right.
Me as my own person, I love Dad to death. you know, willing to know everything I can to find out everything for them. But, you know, that's one thing I cannot figure out with anything is what is the exact motive. I mean, it could have been an accident.
Yeah.
And they covered it up, or it could have been on purpose. You know, everybody, you know, a couple of them got a couple of beers in them.
Yeah.
Or smoked a couple of joints, whatnot. And just went stupid.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but, you know, it's just.
Just don't know.
A lot of it pertains down because of, you know, and I wouldn't have no problem in believing their story in the beginning, but once I found out they lied.
Yeah.
That's where the problem was. And,
sure.
You know, and I'll tell you, because when we had a search down there looking for Dad at the food line, Juanita and Donald was down there, and we all went into the woods looking for Dad, you know, because, you know, we thought Dad was there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And they never stepped off into the grass. They just left. That right there, you know, in hindsight, I wish it would have threw a red flag to me.
Yeah.
That, you know, if they honestly thought Dad was there, they should have walked down in there with hands down, period.
Mm-hmm.
But they did not. You know, when we come back out, they were long gone. Yeah.
How has this affected your family?
A lot. Fighting for Dad, trying to, you know, get justice for him.
Yeah.
It's like we're trying to pull a nail out of the door. It's stressful, and it hurts.
Can I put it this way? It feels like your dad, every day it's like your dad disappeared yesterday, doesn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, I had a little episode today. I was picking my daughter up from school, and it just, out of the blue, man, just helped them to me, man. I'm like, you know, it's like, it's a feeling, man, that you cannot describe, man. I mean, it really ain't, man. It puts you hopeless because you're trying to wrap your head around because you know for a fact that you're never going to see your father again, or you know, I know I ain't going to see my dad again. But you know, for some of the viewers, you know, the people that's going to be listening to this, it's like, you know, you're trying to grab onto something and all you're doing is grabbing air.
Yeah.
You cannot touch it, feel it, or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's hopeless, man, and it hurts.
Yeah.
And you have kids now, and they never got to meet their grandfather, too.
Exactly. And I think about that. I think that's one thing that kind of hit me today when I was picking up my daughter. It's like, and that might have been the reason why it hit me, because here she was, you know, getting out of school and everything like that. She never got to meet her grandfather. And, you know, and my children see me, how hard I'm fighting for Dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to know within my own being that I do everything I can for Dad. You know, I mean, until I take my last breath, I'm going to fight for Dad. You know, no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I mean, until Dad's found and just served, and I'm going to keep fighting. I might be fighting and losing battle, but it's just, it's hard. Yeah. It really is. It's really hard.
Bobby, I promise you that myself and my listeners are going to do everything we can for you. I'm hoping that somebody's going to listen to this and they're going to figure out they know something. We've had some success so far with this show and a couple new leads and some things because of shows. So I'm really hoping that a listener, maybe specifically in the Virginia area, you know, has heard something, knows something, suspects something, and just really doesn't know it until they listen to the show, you know. And, you know, they'll come forward, contact me, contact you. Maybe we can make that happen.
And Dad does have a Facebook page.
Yeah, tell the listeners about that, please, please.
It's Help Us Find James Davis Walker.
Yeah.
And actually, there's a blog on Web Sleuths for Dad, too.
Okay, great.
You can go in there and check that out. There,
All right.
But it's just, one thing I have the hardest time talking about mating around. And, you see a lot of people missing.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot.
It's a lot. You're right.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
And how in the world can you have so many people missing and not find bodies?
Yeah.
You know, I know there's a lot of land and stuff like that, man. But, you figure it'd be every time somebody be breaking ground for a house. And then I know it does happen. They find remains and stuff like that. And, you know, I've got people that I work with that come, organizations just come towards me. The Aware Foundation with Kenny Charles. A great guy, man. This guy's got passion, man, like you wouldn't believe, and helped save Next Girl. That stepped up to us back in 2014. That's when, that's when everything started going around by Dad. And Kenny was with him at one time. He kind of separated, went on his own thing. But, if you ever get on there, just go to Facebook and look up the Wear Out Foundation, Help State Next Girl. Great organizations. They're out there to help people.
Okay.
And the passion that these people got, just like you do, it amazes me, man. That y'all would pretty much help a total stranger to get the word out about their love.
Bobby, it's my pleasure.
I'm in tears now.
Yeah, well, trust me. Trust me. For the record, I wish I didn't have to do this show. I wish there was no disappeared people in the world, and then the show wouldn't exist, and I'd be doing something else. Okay?
Yeah.
But I've always had a passion for finding missing people, taking interest in these mysteries, and it's just within the last 4 or 5 months I've finally put it to constructive use. So no problem, Bobby. I'm happy to do it.
And I applaud for that. I mean, it's out here. I wish there was a lot more people like that in the world like you that, that does that. Of course, you got some people that take it to their, some people's advantage and pretty much rob them blind.
I know.
That's just the way we're going to do it. But, man, I applaud you guys for everything you guys do.
Thank you.
There's a lot of good people.
Bobby, it's been a pleasure getting to know you. Thank you for being on this episode of Unfound.
All right, thank you.
And that was Bobby Walker, son of James Walker. I want to again thank Bobby for coming on this episode of Unfound. I need to also give him all the credit in the world for back then in 2000 to have the sense to go and get that tape, to not take for granted that the police did it. Now, we now know kind of why the police didn't do it. I think it's very easy to say that the reason that tape wasn't seized by the police is simply because the first cop on the scene, Tracy Pinnell, didn't probably want to have anything to do with that tape. More to the extent of he just took his friend's word about what happened and didn't do the proper investigation right at that time. I mean, that should be number one. Going searching in the woods and around should not be the first choice. The first choice should be walk right into the building that's sitting right there with those video cameras and see what the cameras saw. So there's a lot of questions there. I'm not going to go to the extent to say that Tracy suspected that Donald Adams and his friends murdered James Walker, but let's just say that Tracy ran interference for Donald Adams and his friends, but still to this day, Tracy has never been charged with anything, which is a huge travesty of justice. Now, in this case, it's not much of a mystery. The truth, I think it's pretty easy to see, is that James Walker was never at that food line, ever. You know what the major tell is, and I'm going to reiterate it. It came up during the interview, but I'm going to say it again. How I know James Walker was never at that food line, not sitting outside, not standing by the car, not sitting in the car, not anywhere near it, is that the tape shows when Donald the first time they get there with Donald, Rose, and Bruce. When they get to the store, they go in, they come back out. They didn't look around at all. They didn't look around at all. If they suspected that James was supposed to be in the car or sitting outside, they just got in the car, and the video shows they just got in the car and left. In poker, that's called a major tell. You know why they did that? Because they knew James wasn't there. That's why they didn't look for him. He wasn't there. Not only that, but when Donald and Juanita come back and then try to spin that story that James was with them, that they went inside and that's when James disappeared, Donald and Juanita never went into the store at all. They came to the store, and right away, Donald Adams called the cops and specifically asked for Tracy Pinnell. Once again, those two didn't get there and start looking for James either. They just got there and called the cops. If they suspected that James disappeared there like an hour and a half before, I think that they would have ridden around or stopped the car and got out and walked this way, walked that way. That's not what happened. James Walker was never near that grocery store at all. Now, how do we all define this? What happened? And I know during the interview, we entertained the idea that something happened to James the night before. And since that interview, it's been a couple days, I've had a chance to think about it myself, and I've come up with something different. It's hard for me to believe. Now, keep in mind, I don't think that Donald Adams and the rest of them are the sharpest knives in the drawer. But if something happened, let's say, the night before, or even earlier that morning, surely that group of people between Donald, Juanita, Rose, and Bruce, they could have come up with a better story and a better alibi than what they ended up doing over that an hour and a half to 2 hours of April 7th, 2000. Surely. That if they had 12 hours, I don't care how, if they were drunk at the time that something happened to James, or they were high at the time something happened to James, eventually they'd sober up and figure out, we got to come up with a plan for this. Instead, I'm going to offer a different theory about what happened. I think what happened to James happened between the first visit to the food line and the second visit to the food line. I know this is quite different from what was mentioned in the interview. I tend to believe this because if something happened to James the night before, surely the four of them could have come up with a better story, better alibis than what they did. If something happened the night before, they could have planned everything out. And that trip to the food line that morning, the first time with Donald, Rose, and Bruce, would have been the only trip. If they really wanted to use the food line as the alibi, why didn't they do it the first time to the store? Why did they do it the second time when Donald, and Juanita showed up at the store? That's a question that's hard to answer once you really, really, really start thinking about it. And that's why I am set on the idea that what happened to James happened between the first visit to the food line and the second visit. It goes something like this. Started out as a regular morning for all of them. Then Donald, Rose, and Bruce decided to go to the store. They went to that food line, went inside, got some things, came back out, got in the car, drove home. Remember, there was this rumor out there that Juanita and James had something going on the side. Well, it's very easy for me to imagine that maybe those two left alone up there while the three of them went down to the store. Maybe James and Juanita took the opportunity. Let's just leave it at that. The three, Donald, Rose, and Bruce, they get home a little quicker than James and Juanita imagined. In fact, maybe we could even go to the extent that maybe Juanita set James up. How about that? Maybe she wanted to get caught. Maybe she wanted to tick her husband Donald off so he'd do something. It wouldn't be the first time that a woman played off one lover against the other. Donald gets home, catches those two in bed. He loses his mind. It's a crime of passion. He shoots James. But now they have an issue. They're all there, all four of them, and they have James's body, and they know that their alibis are not good. So quickly, once again, this is why it seems like that whole morning is so slapstick, kind of. There's so many inaccuracies, and they tried to lie here, and their story changed so many times. Why? Because they created it in a split second. Donald quickly thinks, okay, here's what we're going to do. Even though he's probably still ticked off at his wife, she needs an alibi as well. And being that it's their house. So he says, here's what I'm going to do. We were just down there at the Food Lion. We're just there. So here's what I'm going to do. Juanita, you're going to come with me. We're going to go down to the Food Lion. And I know that my buddy Tracy is on duty this morning. In the meantime, Bruce and Rose, you take care of James's body. You hide it. You don't have to put it anywhere permanent, just out of the way in case anybody comes over so they don't see it. Juanita and I are going to go down to the Food Lion again, and we're just going to act like we just got there. It will be like I was never there. We were never there earlier this morning. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get Tracy to show up, and I know he's a good buddy of mine. He's going to take my word on this. He's not going to go in and look at the video. I'm going to be real passionate with him. Juanita and I are going to create this great story about how when we went inside, we came back out. And keep in mind, I was just inside there a little bit ago. It's totally believable. And we will keep the search for James down here so nobody thinks about coming up to this house. So they jump in the car. Juanita and Donald drive down to the Food Lion. As soon as they get there, they call Tracy. In the meantime, Bruce and Juanita put James's body somewhere. This would also go along with what Bobby said about how Rose, within the last few years, told him or sent him a message on Facebook or whatever saying, I didn't kill your dad. Well, why would she come out and do that? That sounds like a guilty conscience. Yeah, maybe she didn't kill James Walker, but she certainly knows what happened. Maybe she had something to do with the disposal of his body, at least during that morning. So down there at the Food Lion, Tracy shows up. Donald and Juanita give this story about how they went inside, they came back out, and Donald and James was gone. That institutes a search on the streets, in the woods, all around the Food Lion. All the while, Bruce and Rose are up at Donald and Juanita's place, hiding James's body temporarily to let the heat cool down. And then they start spinning this story about how James was having some mental issues and he could have just wandered off on his own. Remember, that started my interview with Bobby. And that's how they spun the story. And you know what? You want to know the truth? Donald and Juanita and Rose and Bruce almost pulled it off. If it hadn't been for Bobby and his teacher to have the wherewithal to go and get that tape and suspect maybe the police didn't, It's very easy to understand that the story that Donald and Juanita spun the second time Donald went to the store, that is the only story we would know to this day. I think that's exactly what happened. It just makes a lot more sense to me than believing that something happened to James the night before, because nobody would have made as many mistakes as Donald and Juanita and the rest of them did that morning that we now know of, once again, because of the tape. So where does that all leave us? It's been 17 years, and Bruce is dead, and it seems that the consciences of Juanita, Donald and Rose have not been cracked yet. They haven't grown any since then, and I guess Donald, if we were to believe it, is not in the greatest of health, and it very well may be that they take their secret to the grave. I think that as far as finding James and really, really figuring out what happened, I think that it's unfortunately going to just be a matter of time. If these people haven't talked in all this time, then they're probably not going to. And it's just going to be a matter of digging and any rumors and suspicions that aren't going to come from either Donald, Rose, or Juanita, being that those three are still alive. However, what could be done, and I don't know how much solace that Bobby and his family would have for this, it would be nice if at least Donald and Juanita were charged with filing up false police reports, something that's never been done to this day, even though it's obvious that they did at least more than once. And also, it'd be nice to see some charges brought against Tracy Pinnell all these years later for dereliction of duty or something like that, for almost, you could say, knowingly accepting a false police report. And on top of the fact that neither he nor any of the other policemen involved in this went in and got that tape the day that James Walker allegedly disappeared. I don't see how for 17 years that can continue without some one of these cops being charged with something. I'm not saying they have to be thrown in jail, but you put a little pressure on these guys and maybe you find out that Tracy or one of the other ones knows a little bit more than what they've said all these years. For us, all we can do is maybe in our own way put pressure on that police department. And maybe somebody in Virginia, in this area of Virginia, knows something, and they'll suddenly discover they know something by listening to this episode. I once again want to thank Bobby Walker for joining me. I hope that he and I can continue our discussions, and I'd love to be friends with him and continue to talk to him like I talk to all of the guests who have been on Unfound. I take great pride in being able to continue to communicate with them, even though in some cases they haven't been on the show in a few months. So that's the episode. I urge you to go out and do your own investigation and research on this case. I'm Ed Densel, and you've been listening to Unfound.